This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. This is Khoo Soo Chuang and I'm joined by Wong Shao Ning and Philip C. It is the 5th of March 2021. Now, next week, in conjunction with International Women's Day, BFM will be celebrating the tremendous efforts by women and girls in shaping a more equal future and recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll also be highlighting women in power, women in sports, women in tech and other male-dominated industries, and that their central contribution to the nation cannot be undermined.
Understated,
of course. So join us all on Monday, the 8th of March, for our International Women's Day specials on BFM 89.9, the business station. Now that we've got that out the door, gentlemen and lady, how are you?
Yeah, excellent. It's
fantastic,
Friday.
Right? It is, right?
I'm so happy it's Friday.
It is. Y'all look a bit knackered, actually.
Well, because we've been working all week, unlike you, John.
What is work? Work is nothing but a four-letter word that ends with K, darling.
Yeah, because unfortunately for most of us, we need something called that ends with H and starts with C.
Sorry. No idea.
Another four-letter word. Oh my goodness, anyway, it's Friday, y'all are very slow. Starts with C, ends with H, we all need that.
Oh, C, is
yeah.
You don't need any of that.
Of course I do. Please, 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 that's an urban myth, okay?
Yeah, right.
It's an urban myth.
So, yeah, anyway, so what was your week like? Other than the fact that you are, you know, doing that four-letter word that ends with K.
And looking for the C and then ending with the H. It was pretty good, actually. I would have to say it's been an interesting week. Yeah. Lots of news out there. And I think a little bit of politics going on also behind the scenes in terms of Malaysia.
Who cares about Malaysia politics, lah? Seriously, man.
Well,
I'm just done with those fellas, lah. I was about to use a profanity, but I just stopped at the very last minute.
We had a lot of conversation on EPF and social protection.
Good,
actually, day to day, actually.
5.4%.
5.2%. 5.2% for conventional, 4.9% for Sharia.
Then my friend, who's a banker, said, "Ayo, 10 bips also, 10 bips more also cannot give."
Why 10 bit? Why is he complaining about the 10 bit?
I don't know.
Actually, because the real way to look at it is what it is versus your, let's say, your 12-month FD rate, right? Which is equivalent to, for most of us, our risk-free rate, which
1.75?
Is 1.75. Yeah. So when you think about it, it's quite a substantial difference between that. So, hey, kudos to EPF. But
especially
I think the challenge is 2021.
Especially if some people got, you know, seven figures and above in the FDs. Yeah.
You mean EPF, not FDs?
Oh,
Okay,
EPF, yeah.
Chuang needs to come back into the studio more because he seems to have forgotten how to spell and then it's an alphabet soup. But anyway, what do we have, Philip?
Well, you know, you talk about male-dominated forums. We're going to highlight a woman that has really succeeded and every word she says hangs in the market. Now, clue, she's not Christine Lagarde. She's not Janet Yellen.
And she's not Rosamund
Pike.
She's
not Kamala Harris. And she's not Rina Harun.
Okay.
She of ARC fame. Yeah.
Okay, and I'll be talking, after 6:30, we'll be going through all the international headlines and lots of news coming out of Europe, actually.
As opposed to Asia. Okay, so all that and more to look forward to after this, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the morning run going full Elvis on you this early in the morning with Suspicious Minds. How are you, Shoning? And Phil, I think you've got something intelligent to tell us, actually, in terms of the next...
the next future
fad,
of payments, which is buy now, pay later. I think in Malaysia, we're quite familiar with the concept, with the Courts Mammoth, Zero Installment, but it's really gone a whole next level with digital. And we're talking about this company called Klarna. It's a Swedish payment company. It raised $1 billion, increasing its valuation to $31 billion. So it's now Europe's largest financial house on par with, right? As large as Barclays, Credit Suisse, and Swiss Re. It's really one of the largest startup funds in Europe.
Okay, so that means basically you can kick the can down the road as far as you want in terms of not paying for whatever you buy, which is...
you're paying, but you're just paying later.
You're paying later.
Nothing
you're paying
ever
in bits.
Free.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is it replicates the credit card model if you don't have a credit card.
Yeah, right? Or maybe you've already maxed out your credit card credit.
Yeah, so that
That's
seems to
too,
me
right?
to be the height of financial ignorance. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not sure that's the right word. I mean, if you're actually quite clever and very disciplined, you can use credit terms to your advantage. You can, because credit cards, for example, they give you a number of days, right, before you have to make payment.
30 days.
Yeah. So you can use that period, some people would say, to float your money around, right? But a lot of people don't have that discipline and they're not so good at keeping an eye on the dates.
Yeah,
so that's something it's not for everybody. But I think this article, which is chosen from Yahoo News, right?
Reuters,
excuse me. Now, I think it does show, or does, if you ask me, it's not surprising that you have these companies emerging like Klarna, kind of coming up with this concept, which is already exists on for many people, but we've never really had like companies just specifically doing this. It was always part of a financial services or part of a bank, and then they roll it out, right? But this is one company that's like, let's really just kind of look at this and charge. I suppose they do have credit terms. Then they give you like the number of days before you have to pay. And you're right, maybe Chuang, in a sense that it really appeals to people who desperately need, like, you know, they need some credit now. And then they just like, they've turned everywhere and now they turn to Klarna.
No, yeah. So this is another chink in the armor of the universal banking model, right? It just goes to show how the traditional financial services model is so inefficient and very expensive. So, you know, people like Klarna have just taken one slice, one vertical, and then just, you know,
amplified
it to its nth degree.
If you go to the website, it totally doesn't look like a bank. It's like a retail store, bright pink, really trying to get the millennials and Gen Zs to come in. But, you know, Shani, you got a point. It works if you're intelligent and you think about it. But there are a lot of risks that comes with it. And even when they did a survey, a lot of people make the mistake of making an impulse purchase, buying a more expensive item that you would otherwise do, and overstretching your budget. So really being able to understand the T&Cs and very critical.
And I think like what one dangerous thing is you don't realize is that, you know, because it's human, right? Sometimes we forget something. So maybe we miss the payment. Every time you do something like that, your credit score...
You're compounding your debt.
Not only that, your credit score deteriorates. Mm. And that makes it difficult for you later on in life.
Yeah.
When you want...
bigger item purchases.
To, let's say, really when you want to take that housing loan, you know, you can't really recover that easily. And like you say, it does compound. Interest doesn't go away.
Correct. So the whole credit score phenomenon is very big in America, Australia as well. It's coming here. By the way, CTOS is trying to list this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's increasingly more and more common. So I think if you want to use this, just be mindful of all the T&Cs.
So then what they do is these BNPL firms are very smart. They don't just target everybody. So globally, that's Klarna in Europe. Then in US, it's Affirm. And Affirm actually selectively picks payment options only for certain suppliers like Peloton. Mm. So if you go Peloton, you know that segment is going to be high income.
Yeah.
They have the capacity to pay. So then,
because the bikes are minimum 4,000 US.
Exactly. So they pick essentially vendors and sellers that you know the customer base is willing and able to pay.
And
so then your credit risk goes down a little bit. But as you say, if it's targeted to the millennials, it's very much like that whole, was it Robinhood? Where it's gamified, right? Once you sign up for the first time, you're a whole bunch of confetti and balloons, and you get $5 free credit to go and buy some stock. Well, in fact, they give you the stock, right? One share of whatever it is. And then obviously it's targeted to the young guys who don't necessarily have that financial awareness. It's a little bit, it verges on the verge of irresponsibility.
I think what it does is that if you go into these websites, and by the way, BNPL means for buy now, pay later. I think you go into the websites and there is some truth to it. It just catches your eyes.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you feel like as if you're going into anything serious or anything which requires responsibility or commitment. And you're distracted, right, by the whole buzz of the whole, like, the, you know, the colors. So they're very clever
so
in that way. Yeah, it's inviting. It's like there's no consequence when you click.
Oh, but there is.
Yes, there is.
So it's like Robin Hood when you sign up, you get confetti.
Yeah.
But you know, the point about age is interesting because when they did a survey, right, you know who made the most BNPL money mistakes? Age 35 to 44. It's not even the millennials or Gen Zs. It's like our generation.
Where's this study?
Singapore.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Interesting.
And my producer is actually now on the Klarna website, right? Klarna website. And I see the retailers. It's really impulse purchase. It's not like buy a car. It's like you can buy Lululemon, for example, Foot Locker, Theory, which is quite a high-end clothing brand, and even GameStop.
It just goes to show, right? So these guys are not illegal. They're perfectly within the realms of legislation.
Yeah. But you're right, Philip.
But they're playing it.
Yeah, they're like, hey, who cares? Buy that pair of sneakers, even though you've got 200 in the cupboard. It's all right. This get that 201.
Jordan Belfort would be so happy in this day and age.
Get a Bata, not a Missoni.
Exactly. Forget about it. They'll go Missoni. They won't go Bata, right? Okay. 6:14. That and more after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Wilson Pickett with In the Midnight Hour. Well, we are now 6 hours and 18 minutes past that, because it's the time of day when people like us are awake talking to people like you.
I wish it was midnight so I'm in bed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know. I want it to be Friday, guys. I just want the weekend to come. I don't want to stay in bed anymore.
Actually, the weekend begins on Wednesday night. But anyway,
For you.
It does.
Wow.
So the latest financial baron to emerge from Wall Street is this woman called Cathy Wood.
Baroness.
Baroness. Sorry, I beg your pardon, Baroness. So yeah, in the interests of being equal with everybody, Baroness, she runs this fund called ARK Invest. I think at last count about 50 plus billion in assets. The world's biggest actively traded ETF fund, right?
Yes.
But she's also been renowned as the most bestest, excellentest, famousest, amazingest stock picker in 2020 by Matt Winkler. Matt Winkler is none other than the Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief, my former boss, by the way. Yeah. So he's chosen...
That was your moment, right, Trump?
No, not really. No. Cathy Wood. So Cathy Wood, yeah. Her biggest holding is Tesla. I've got a problem with that, though.
She also loves Bitcoin, by the way.
She had a bit of Bitcoin exposure, but because of the volatility, certain funds she had to downsize a bit. But she is a big supporter of Bitcoin, but from a portfolio, she had to right-size it. But, you know, as you said, Cathy Wood is really a pioneer here. She was the first to drive active hedge fund investing.
Yeah.
She's using social media to the next level that I think many of the fund managers are not doing so well. And thirdly, her research is impeccable, and she does an open source research where she shares the research with everybody.
Can you see? Did you see?
You can actually, and you can access it on ARK Invest. It's really insightful. And she explains that the great thing about being open about the research is that she gets feedback actually from technologists about the quality of research, and then it's iterative.
No, it's a full-time job, man. But, you know, that old adage on Wall Street, right? You can make money in a bull market. If you can make money in a bear market, and we might well have, in large part due to China, big tech has slowed down considerably the last 10, 15 days, right? Mm. Can she make money?
I'm not so sure it's due to China. I think it's just rotation and the reality of the valuations being stretched.
That's why I said in large part, right?
Yeah.
But let's see whether Cathy Wood can make money in 2021.
I want to, you know, give you all some hard numbers in terms of how good a fund manager she is, because everything is relative, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at things also, and it's no point looking at things too short a time. You have to have a longer horizon, then it makes sense. So if you look at it over her performance, and I'm staring at Bloomberg at the moment, so the five-year performance, right, the total return, total return is 581%, guys.
How many years?
For 5 years.
Okay la.
No, yeah, but the point is, when you think about it, it's relative, right? So the comparison, I just take the broader index, which is the S&P 500. That return is only 100%.
Okay, so she's done five times as good as
yes,
Tia.
And that is the take-home point.
Yep.
Because you can just get 100% if you just close your eyes, right, and match the index, right? But she's done more than that.
If all you had done was buy tech the last 5 years, you would get but the thing is, would you have had the cojones to buy tech the last 5 years consistently,
exactly,
right?
Yes.
Among all the naysayers.
I think she's been quite consistent about that. And even in her recent talks and interviews, she expects a correction, and she thinks it's healthy to have a correction in the market. So even if you look at the downtrend happening in the market,
the last few weeks she's been seeing some price pressures on a year-to-date basis.
Correct, but she still outperformed market even with that downward pressure. So if anything, credit to her as well for even delivering even during these difficult times.
Yeah, Chuang, about your point about technology. So if we compare her performance to just the NASDAQ index, right, where you really just look at tech, that same duration for 5 years, NASDAQ only increased 185%. So she still outperformed quite significantly. I think in the last few months, of course, she's seen some price, price drop, so it's about more than 20%, but it's not unsurprising when you think about it.
No, when you're sitting on such fat gains, yeah, you've got the room to come back, yeah.
Yeah, and also like you, Philip, I listened to her on Bloomberg Radio the other day. She had an interview, and she also takes pains to remind investors, and this is something I think a lot of people forget. Fund management is a long-term game. It's not a short-term one. So her point is, you know, there will be up and downs. There will be volatility. Prices never move in a straight line. And you just got to ride out this volatility. But you've got to know what you like, what you see as investments that are going to generate good returns for you in the longer term.
I don't
get into the hype too much sometimes.
No. I don't think you can dispute a performance in any way, shape or form. Or not undermine it, right? But what I have a real problem with is the sycophantic attitude of Wall Street. The necessity to uncover the next big thing the next, and then this whole idea that this is the best, or you know, the big fund, the next big baron, you know.
Yeah.
We've had Warren Buffett, we've had Stan Druckenmiller, then we've had, you know, Ray Dalio, and you know they want to.
Well, that's not Kathy's problem, I think. That's right. Just the market, right? Labeling her the millennial Buffett.
Well, she's not really. She's what?
55. But she hires 45. All millennials to do her research.
Well, born 1955, so she's 60.
Well, I think it's her investment. 66, it's not just the investment universe that she plays in is very appealing to the millennials, i.e. you're talking about Bitcoin and Tesla, Apple.
Yeah. But she owns Square, she owns Roku, she owns Tesla.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those are names which are very familiar to millennials, right? So maybe the attraction or the kind of investor she gets is maybe the profile is younger. But it's not surprising that people look up to her. We all look for role models in different aspects. Same with fund management, same with sports. I know you don't agree with me. Sometimes in politics also.
Is it a coincidence that she's also a woman?
I think it's just down, maybe it's rare, and I would say it's rare to see a prominent female fund manager given so much limelight. But kudos to her, because actually even in Malaysia, and I can tell you, there are a lot of female fund managers out there. It's just that a lot of them also are below the radar, unfortunately.
Well, she was asked a question about, you know, how do females penetrate this fund management? And her answer is very simple. It's all about your track record.
Exactly.
How are you able to deliver your track record? And she's quite clear. Said, actually, women should perform because it's all about the numbers, about delivering it. But she also was very clear to say, even if with the track record, you must work as a team.
Mm. Of course, lah. Okay, well, I'd be willing to see what happens this time next year in terms of her performance relative to the index. Okay, Sade, smooth operator, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Fleet Foxes with Ragged Wood. Okay, 6:40 in the morning, Chuang, Xiaoning and Phil with you to take you through the international news. And we are reading that the Italian government has blocked the export of an Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine shipment to Australia. That's affecting 250,000 doses of the vaccine. And Italy, as we know, or maybe not know, is the first EU country to use new regulations allowing exports to be stopped if the company providing the vaccines has failed to meet obligations to the EU.
I am just gobsmacked by this. Because
how can... There's no privity here, right?
Yeah, it's vaccine nationalism rearing its ugly head again. And if you remember in the past, Italy was one of the first few countries that had the COVID virus rise so fast. And I think the challenge here is you see countries like Australia, New Zealand, all really managing the COVID cases pretty well. And because of that, I think they're kind of being penalized.
This harks back to the early days of COVID-19, right? When there was a fight over PPEs, gloves, masks, and, you know, and then at that time, Italy...
And ventilators as well.
And ventilators. And at that time, Italy was like, how can you do this? We're in the middle of a crisis. We need all the equipment we can get.
Yes.
But soon, all that is forgotten, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, unfortunately, human beings are selfish. They just want they want it now, right? They can't see beyond their nose. So... Unfortunately, like I say, back to square one, we don't seem to have learned any lessons that we were supposed to have learned the first time round.
Okay, so meanwhile, The Guardian reports that the European Parliament has postponed setting a date for ratifying the trade and security deal with Britain after Boris Johnson was accused of breaking international law.
I like the fact that you and him are on first term basis, right?
Well, I'll normally call him BJ, but Bojo for short.
Okay.
Boris Johnson has postponed
setting a date for ratifying the trade and security deal with Britain. Now, he was some senior MEPs warned that the Christmas Eve deal will not be passed at all if the UK goes ahead with its plans.
Yeah, so the UK has denied the allegation, saying that their move was lawful, right? Which was a decision in which trade and security deals would be ratified has reportedly been delayed as a result. So the vote was expected to be held on March 25th, but instead has been left off the parliamentary agenda for now.
This is the tale that keeps on giving, right? This is like a UK's version of 1MDB, Brexit, right? It's like, he never
and
ends,
Boris
right?
Johnson is like Najib, the eternal protagonist.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like, it's like, will this ever end? Are any trade agreements ever going to be signed with Europe? I mean, this is just like probably phase one of the whole thing. And there are going to be so many complications. I think even though they did sign some sort of de facto agreement before year end, already people are like, oh my goodness, the customs declarations are a nightmare. The cost has been rising. I didn't agree to this when I said yes on the ballot box. I mean, some of the UK residents now complaining. guess what? You did. And this is the pain when you try to come out of a political and economic union, right?
And we haven't even sorted out financial services.
Yeah. Which is actually the bulk of it, because people think trade is important, but it's not. It's services, which is really critical between the European Union and the UK.
Yeah, you just imagine trying to break up this marriage, right? While talking about eternal protagonists, Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, is warning that there could be a possible plot to breach Capitol Hill again. And of course, these are pro-Trump supporters. So even though he's no longer in office, the carrot top, his guys are still there or thereabouts.
Did you call him carrot top?
I did.
I was trying to think whether did I hear that wrongly?
I did, carrot top.
Okay. Well, apparently this move was prompted by intelligence that a militia group planned the attack for 4th March. Wasn't that yesterday? So obviously it didn't happen, I guess. I'm sure we'll be reporting it otherwise.
Well, why 4th March is the question? Because apparently before an amendment in 1933, American leaders took office then.
Oh. Yeah. This is so part of the... Must be...
So and this conspiracy theory, la.
Okay, so this is the QAnon again, rearing its head.
Didn't Hollywood release a series of movies about how Washington was being taken?
White House?
It was a movie. There's two or three already, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. So this is like what? Art repeating
art imitates life?
Contagion.
Life imitates art.
Like a movie Contagion?
But that was much more direct. In that case, actually, Capitol Hill was taken by extremists, right? And there were real bombs and real... attacks on the president.
But when you think about it, it was shocking, right? When you see these scenes, right? This is like the bastion of American democracy, right? You think you'll be like so protected, especially haven't they learned any lessons from 9/11? And you had all these people, some of them dressed like cavemen, attacking the, like Capitol Hill. And unfortunately, people died as a result, you know?
Yeah.
It was quite a serious matter. What kind of security do they have there?
Well, the National Guard is supposed to pull out in a few days' time. Maybe they'll stick around a little bit more.
Probably, because look at the presidential nomination day. It was like a fortress, right?
Yeah. I mean, those 5,000 are supposed to go, but I suspect they'll be staying longer, those special guards.
Okay, quarter to seven. We'll come back after this with some social media and local news. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the jam with Start. Now, of course, we have already started the day on the morning run. It is now 6:50, some time for some social media and time for some local news. But because nobody is talking to us, I've decided to
talk to yourself.
I guess so. Maybe it's because my nose is blocked, perennially blocked in the morning. And they don't want to talk to me because of that. So. But anyway, I'm going to kick off proceedings with the Edge.
Proceedings, I like that. Macam court case.
Macam court. CEO morning brief. So yesterday's tectonic news was the fact that Bank Negara did not pull the trigger on its 25 bip rate cut. And apparently, according to The Economist, they're not going to do so anymore because they think that conditions are ripe for the recovery.
So OPR, overnight policy rate, still at 1.75%.
Yes, and probably going to move higher as the economy improves. Touch wood, maybe?
Not so soon, I think, at least.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think let's keep an eye on how other central banks in the region, whether they are going to raise rates,
whether
we're going to move first.
Well, Jay Powell met last night with his cohorts at the Fed, and they were, markets didn't like what he said in terms of...
He wasn't so forceful about keeping rates low forever, right? Yeah, so markets got a bit jittery.
Yeah, I think it was the third day of straight losses on the US exchange.
Yeah, the Nasdaq did another nosedive, but
negative territory on a year-to-date basis, right?
Healthy or not healthy?
Healthy.
Healthy
retracements are always healthy. Gives you a chance to buy back.
Correction.
Yeah. Assuming you got firepower. Okay, what else is out there?
Well, I want to talk about vaccination rates because we've already kick-started the program. So if you go and check Twitter, JK Jeff, 80,000 plus have already got their COVID-19 jabs. They've actually split it by states. Who's leading? Sarawak is leading with 13,690, then followed by KL. So if you look at it on a per capita basis, Sarawak is really punching above its weight. But behind is Sabah, 1,888. Labuan is actually pretty good, 1,789 for how small it is. So if you look at it on a per capita basis, I would say Selangor, Penang and Sabah are not doing so well. But overall, looks pretty good, 80,000 as of March 3rd. We should be hitting 100,000 because you're seeing the increments grow about 25,000 per day.
Weren't we supposed to do 75,000 a day, right?
Yeah. But it's early days, so I think you want to give a bit of chance, lah.
I suppose so. And also just recently, 3 new vaccines were approved, right? So we'll have more vaccines to actually roll out.
You guys registered already?
Yes, of course.
Super careful people, of course, you'll get one.
Important to register.
Yes, in fact, the government is encouraging. I think the data is that still only, 6%?
7% of the population.
But you know, I have this problem with this data because when you look at it, it's not just the number of people versus the total population of Malaysia, right? I mean, children, for example, they're not supposed to be vaccinated.
The addressable number,
yeah. It actually has to be targeted and who should register, right? But yeah. I think what some question marks about elderly people, what are we doing to help them? Because not all of them have smartphones.
And not even all of them know how to navigate the app.
Even if they do have a smartphone.
I have to register for my father-in-law.
Exactly. So I think the government has, I mean, or at least I guess some education in terms of how to do it. Because not everybody knows the process.
I think only 2 million have so far registered on MySejahtera. I presume you're not one of the 2 million yet.
I have.
Oh,
I
great.
Have. I have. Okay. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
from Penang. La.
So, oh, yeah, did he call me an anti-vaxxer a few weeks ago?
Is he wrong? I said you had vaccine hesitancy.
Same line, anti-vaxxers.
No. There is a difference. Hesitancy is when you're maybe not sure. You're a little bit unclear and you need some clarity. Well, anti-vaxxers is like, no matter what you tell them, sometimes they're not going to move.
Well, are you surprised that Top Glove is going ahead with its Hong Kong listing, its dual listing? It's a bit mad, right? They don't exactly need the money, right?
Actually, I'm not sure it's always got to do with you needing to raise money. It gives you sometimes a chance to actually bring down your holdings in the process of taking a listing.
Why would you want to bring down your holdings when he's been buying back, like he's going out of fashion?
Interesting question. But anyway, moving on very quickly to politics, which we must, you know. And
why?
This,
why must we? I
because
hate politics.
This is Malaysia and the politics mix has an impact in everything that we do. So the Singapore Straits Times, our neighbours down south, Shannon Teo, which is a Malaysian, by the way, he wrote that UMNO and Bersatu to part ways for the coming Malaysian general elections.
Does that mean immediately after emergency, we're going to have snap elections?
Who knows? Might be.
Yeah, Shannon Teo, ST of Straits Times, Singapore ST. Yeah, but you know, as they say, the old adage, right? There's no honor among thieves. Do you know what I mean? What else is out there, Phil?
Well, TNB has expanded and has bought into 5 solar plants in Vietnam.
Did you see that dividend? Amazing, right?
Yes.
I think net gross yield about 8%. That's better than a kick in the teeth.
It's interesting, right? Because you have the new CEO coming in. They had just done a joint venture in Singapore to expand into the RE market there. And then with the Vietnam piece, in my mind, I'm thinking, is Malaysia going to shift from being a petrol state to a proper electro state in the future?
I think that's got to be viewed in the context of the ratio of clean energy to non-clean energy. And I think that ratio
is far behind, way below. To be fair, natural gas for us is not as bad as coal.
I don't know why they're so slow to move to non.
By the way, the yield is great because the share price has come down year-to-date basis. You know how it's calculated. Later, right?
So go and buy now. But not to say that I'm recommending any shares to be bought. Yeah, okay. 56 minutes past 6. We'll come back after this with more news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.